Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We welcome Andy Herman of the Pack-A-Day podcast and all about what's happening, the buzz in Green Bay. And Andy, I wonder, considering how abruptly this season ended a year ago, how the playoffs took that devastating turn for not just the Packers, but their fans in the second half against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers just about 12 months ago. What is the general mood around Packer Nation as this game approaches?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there's a lot of confidence in the Packers and coming off, obviously, a great season. Number one team overall, had the bye week. And really, I think there's a ton of momentum based off of the players that they are for sure getting back healthy and then some that may still come back. There's some questions about Zadarius and David Bakhtiari, Whitney Mercilus, as to whether or not they'll be back. We should know more on that then obviously in the next couple of days here. But either way, Jaire Alexander's coming back. You've got Josh Myers back, Billy Turner's back, Randall Cobb is back. So you've got this influx of players. So I think due to that and based on how the season went and how motivated this team is, there's a lot of confidence. But there's definitely still a level of angst and anxiety, not necessarily based on how the last two seasons went, but really, you know, Green Bay had obviously the Super Bowl in 96 and in 2010, and almost every other season outside of that has had some sort of crushing playoff defeat since about 1992. In some of the worst ways, from 4th and 26, from the Seattle 2014 championship game, losing at home to the Giants. I could go on and on,
right.
But there's definitely still some anxiety time the playoffs comes around, because there's definitely been a lot of hurt here, as much as there's been two great quarterbacks around as well.
I don't love it when sports talk show hosts rank things. I feel like it's cheap thrills sports radio. However, last year's loss at home after the Packers were the top seed and hosted the Buccaneers, where does that one rank considering the way the second half played out?
Yeah, I think it stings. I think there's certainly, unfortunately, still some ones that probably sting a bit more. I think maybe one of the reasons why it stings just a tad bit less is simply because it was during that COVID season and there wasn't a full Lambeau Field. And I'm not saying it didn't sting, because it definitely did. And obviously, all the fans of Green Bay definitely felt that one and had an opportunity to go to a Super Bowl win against Tom Brady at home. But I think this feels like the third in a trilogy. This feels like the first one in Matt LaFleur's first season when they lost to San Francisco. That felt like your introduction story, which is usually the first of the trilogy. And then the second one was like, you know, Empire Strikes Back, where Tom Brady gets another Super Bowl and crushes your heart at home. And then this one feels like maybe it's going to be the final, you know, swan song, and Green Bay actually gets their championship in the third year. We'll see, to be determined, but it does sort of feel that way a little bit.
Andy Herman is with us from Green Bay, where I hope it's a frozen tundra there at Lambeau Field on Saturday as the Packers host the Niners in the divisional playoffs. And he's got the Pack-A-Day podcast, and right now lots of buzz around Green Bay. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned Randall Cobb. How much different does the offense operate, and how much of an extra level of comfortability with Aaron Rodgers does he add?
Yeah, you kind of hit the nail on the head on that last part, the level of comfortability and the confidence that he has in Randall Cobb. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback regardless of anything else, but when he has receivers that he has full and complete trust in and can go to them at any time and knows what they're going to do and almost has a level of ESP with just knowing what they're going to do at all times, he becomes otherworldly. And he has that, of course, throughout the course of his career with Jordy Nelson, had it with Greg Jennings at times, has it now with Devontae Adams. but definitely has it with Randall Cobb as well. And you're starting to see it even develop with Alan Lazard also. But when he has that level of trust in a receiver, James Jones is another, of course, back in the day. But when he has that level of trust that he's willing to maybe throw up a ball or just knows exactly where they're going to be, you see him operate at another level. And he's not sort of quite as maybe risk averse, which is something he's great at, and never turning the ball over, never throwing interceptions. But he's willing to rip it a little bit more when he has a receiver that he can trust. And I think especially on those key third down conversions and then the red zone, when things tighten up just a little bit, having that comfortability and that level of trust with another receiver outside of Davante Adams, especially when teams are going to do everything in their power to take away Davante in those situations in the playoffs, I think it's going to pay huge dividends in these next, hopefully these next 2 to 3 games.
I thought it was striking the way that Randall highlighted how he'd had to watch the playoffs the last few years, and that this is his first trip to the postseason since 2016. So how much does it mean to him to be out there and healthy just a few weeks after having the abdominal surgery?
Yeah, I'm sure it means a ton to him. And I'll just tell a fun story. When training camp started and Randall Cobb was back on the very first day, of course, fans were excited to see Cobb. The most excited person there wasn't a fan. It was Randall Cobb. He was a kid in a candy store. I mean, he was coming over to reporters and being like, I'm so happy to see you guys. I can't believe I'm back. Like, he was ecstatic to be back in Green Bay. And I think to some extent to probably be out of Houston, if I'm being honest. But overall, you could just tell how happy he was. And you can tell what this season means to him. You can tell what it means to Rodgers that Cobb is back by his side. And he has, again, that extra level of comfort there, both on the field and off the field. It was a really a key pickup. And I know it was one that, you know, Brian Gutekunst, I don't think necessarily wanted to make, but I think Aaron Rodgers, however he got it done, it's been more than beneficial for this team so far.
When he did his weekly interview with Pat McAfee, he seemed so happy. When was the last time you saw Aaron Rodgers that happy after a week off, and he's talking about how rested he is, and he was so smiley, which is different than what we'd seen from him for the previous few weeks.
Yeah, you can definitely tell. I think there's a little bit more of a relaxation with Aaron Rodgers, and you can just see there's a calm confidence right now. And, you know, you never know how things are going to go, but I definitely wouldn't want to be a defense that's getting ready to prepare to go against Aaron Rodgers right now. He seems like he's in total Zen mode and in complete control and is ready to go out and play football at any given moment and put up 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. So I think it's going to be a really interesting postseason for Aaron, because as great as Aaron has been throughout the course of his, you know, incredible career, there have been some playoff stumbles at times, and he certainly has been a little bit more turnover averse in the playoffs, which makes sense because you're playing the best of the best and the top defenses. But I think this is an opportunity for him. Not that he needs to cement his legacy anymore. He's going to go down as one of the all-time greats, but the opportunity, he's going to probably get his fourth MVP. If he gets a second Super Bowl and maybe even a Super Bowl MVP, it obviously is going to go that much further in cementing that legacy even more.
Andy, I wasn't going to ask this, but since you dropped those three critical letters, why do you think he should be the MVP over Tom Brady?
It's a really interesting discussion, and I think you can make a really strong case for Tom Brady as well. I think, first of all, when you look at the AP voting and see that Rodgers came ahead of Tom Brady in that for first-team All-Pro quarterback, it probably is tipping the hand that the voters are leaning that way as well. But I think if you look at how Rodgers has played towards the end of this season to really get this team to the number one seed, home field advantage, and I think really rallying this team as well, and whether it was I'll go back to training camp, because I know there's a lot of talk about, you know, his off season and some of those sort of things and how that could have been a distraction. One of the craziest things of this entire year, from the off season up until now, was from the moment that he gave that press conference where it was basically the airing of grievances. If you would have not known any better, if you would have just showed up the next day, like let's say you fell asleep after the NFC Championship game last year and woke up on the day following his airing of grievances press conferences, you would have never known that there was anything different whatsoever. It was like a complete turning of the page. It was like he was a new man. And from that point forward, he's done nothing but get this team to the level that they're at today. And I think we've seen this team with Jordan Love in a couple different occasions, and you can very much tell nowhere near the same team. So I think he's definitely, to me, top of the list in that MVP conversation.
So then you infer that the majority of voters do not feel the same way as Hub Arkish did when he expressed his feelings about Rodgers on our Chicago affiliate AM 670 The Score.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. You know, it could still be interesting because, you know, I think Jonathan Taylor was a unanimous All-Pro, and you could see some votes trickle in other places. But it definitely seems like the writing's potentially on the wall for a fourth MVP for Aaron.
Andy Herman is the Pack-A-Day podcast host and owner with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio from Green Bay. Now, these two teams met earlier in the season, and it did go down to the wire. It was a late field goal by Mason Crosby. So what sticks out about that matchup earlier in the season?
Yeah, I think the first thing is that both of these teams are very, very different than they were in that game. Debo Samuel has been an entirely different weapon for San Francisco. You know, they had their late round corner starting in that game. It just wasn't, I don't think, the same 49ers team. And I think Green Bay's defense, as I was watching that game, it didn't even remind me, or as I was rewatching it, didn't even remind me of what Joe Barry's defenses look like over the course of the second half of this season. You could tell that he was still in a feeling out phase with his personnel on defense and how he wanted to run this 2021-2022 Packers defense. So I think both of these teams have evolved a lot. I think one of the things that stood out to me from a Packers standpoint, I don't think San Francisco really had any sort of answer for Davante Adams. They single covered him a lot. Davante was able to get open on a variety of occasions. And I think that's going to be something that I'm really curious how San Francisco defends him. Do they go one-on-one, which is a nightmare for almost any team? Or do they kind of get out of their base package, or, you know, how they want to defend, I should say, and start doubling him, which is going to open up potentially things for Dylan and Jones and the rest of the offense. So I think that's going to be the 1A thing that I'm looking at after rewatching that game.
There's no way Mason Crosby kicks that field goal if Rodgers doesn't connect with Davante on a pair of fairly deep passes on that last drive, which was in the final minute of the game. That's what I remember. Those two connections almost like driving a stake through the heart of the Niners in that moment.
Yeah, and it's interesting. So the first throw to Adams over the middle, over the top of Fred Warner, is just an unbelievable throw. I have no idea how he got it up and down. It's just a classic Rodgers-Adams moment. But the other thing, and I kind of asked Matt LaFleur about this earlier this week in his press conferences, at the very end of that, they connect with about 14 seconds left to Davante down at like the, 35-yard line. And they needed to do the spike at the very end. And very similarly to Dallas, it doesn't look like they handed the referee the football. It looked like Davante placed it. And it looked like the referee did a much better job in that specific game of getting in there, touching the ball, and getting the heck out of the way so that Green Bay could snap that to get that field goal off. And it definitely sounded like the Packers learned some things from that Dallas snafu at the end of last week, as well as I'm sure many other teams did as well by watching that.
End of game situations may never quite look the same after that Dallas 49ers lens from wildcard weekend. Davante with a dozen catches in their first matchup at 132 yards. But as you point out, Debo Samuel, he was not the force that he's been out of the backfield ever since they kind of morphed his position. He calls himself a wide back, which I think is interesting. But he's so versatile and so athletic. He creates headaches for so many teams. How does the defense of the Packers match up with him?
Yeah, I'll lean on him on what he wants to be called, but I call him a star. He's absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how Green Bay defends him. I don't think there's a player that you can just say like, well, you know, if Jair comes back, you can put Jair on Samuel. Like, Debo moves so many different spots that you can't just mark up on a single player. I think the number one best thing that you can do against Debo, and really this 49ers offense as a whole, is play sound fundamental defense, and especially from a tackling standpoint. This isn't a team that has like this deep wide receiver threat down the field, and Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to beat you with a ton of air yards. They want to get it in the hands of their playmakers like Ayuk, like Samuel, Kittle, etc., Elijah Mitchell, and they want those guys to do the heavy lifting. And I think if this is the Packers have been a great team tackling all season long. If they can continue that and play disciplined defense, stay in their gaps, stay in their alleys, I think they have a really good chance of just shutting down sort of this 49ers, you know, run after contact offense in general. I think if they fail at that, or if they take some poor angles, which Darnell Savage has been prone to at times, you know, I think that's where you can get yourself into trouble. And all of a sudden those 5 to 10 yard potential gains start turning into 25, 30 yard gains. And that's where you can really get gashed. So I don't think there's anything you can specifically do to take out Debo by, you know, matching him up. But I think overall that defensive philosophy can go a long way against Debo and the 49ers as a whole.
Okay, so I'm saving the two questions for the end that I think might make you roll your eyes, and I apologize in advance. Number one, do you ever do any interviews about the Packers this time of the year without answering questions about the weather?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm sure I probably don't, but no, that definitely comes up around this time of year. It is a sweltering negative six as we talk right now here in Green Bay.
Yes.
That's without the wind chill. That is just a pure base negative six.
What are the temps supposed to be like? Or I guess what are the temps are going to be cold. What are the wind chills supposed to be like on Saturday?
Yeah, this is going to sound crazy when I say it's not supposed to be that bad. It's supposed to be like, you know, somewhere between like 14 and 18 degrees. And then with the wind chill probably dipping down into single digits. But hey, that's like a 20 degree increase from where we're at currently right now. So it's almost a heat wave, Amy, but it's definitely going to be cold. And we were at a, you know, very similar game. I think it was the Cleveland game, but there was a very cold game on, I think it was Sunday Night Football, Saturday Night Football, whatever it was. And there was definitely some nip in the air, and you definitely need to bundle up as best as possible, whether you're in the stands, a coach, whatever. But I know the players are going sleeveless, I'm sure, but it's definitely cold as cold can be.
Mm. A friend of mine who works for the Fox TV station in Green Bay said the same exact thing. It's not going to be that bad.
Yeah, so, right.
So that's how you know you're conditioned to those types of Wisconsin winters. Okay, and then this one, I almost feel like I need to whisper, but Andy, is there any talk at all still, or any nerves, any anxiety about what happens with Aaron when the season is over? However it ends, with Super Bowl or no Super Bowl, are people bringing it up, or has it been tabled for now?
No, I think it's a fair question. And I think for the most part, people have compartmentalized it to say, let's just get through the playoffs in this season and hopefully a Super Bowl first and then, you know, worry about that later. I still believe that that's a saga that could go in a million different directions. I don't think there's any one way, and it could easily ebb and flow in a million different ways before we get to a final destination. But I do think there's been a ton of progress between Green Bay and Brian Gutekunst in the front office and Aaron Rodgers. It just seems that they're on a much better page. You've seen Aaron Rodgers and Brian Gutekunst, you know, having jovial, friendly conversations at practices that's been videotaped at times. Like you can just see, and Rodgers has even mentioned that he's appreciated some of the changes that Green Bay has made. So I think they are at a good point, but you can never rule out retirement. You can never rule out something else, you know, or maybe a change of heart in the offseason. Like I said, it could ebb and flow a million different ways. But as of right now, I think most fans have just said, we're just going to get through this season first. And I think most are still positive that he could come back next season.
Mm. Because as you point out, he's said some very public, kind words about the general manager and has seemed like he's in a much better mood as long as you don't poke the bear, so to speak. So you can find Andy on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. It's the Pack-A-Day podcast and Green Bay Nation as an analyst. And we always appreciate it when you can hop on the show with us. Have fun. I'm not going to say stay warm because you told me it's not going to be that bad. So, you know, just have a blast on Saturday night. Thank you, Andy.
Appreciate it, Amy. Have a good one.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.